Welcome to the podcast, Story of the Pal. I'm Frank.
I'm Marcus.
I'm Tom.
Love it, I hate it, we debate it. It being movies.
Mm.
That is your favorite thing to say lately.
Yeah, well, it bees.
It.
Today, good. People were wondering what it be.
What it be? Today we're talking about 10 things I hate about you.
Yes.
Oh,
we
really?
Are.
Okay.
Tom's choice. This is Tom's
and
choice.
And why do we? And on this podcast, we rate films out of 11, but maybe today we do it out of 10.
Well, yeah. I would say that Kat decided 11 would have been too far. That's really the reason for this movie. She's like, that'll be mean if I go to 11. So I'll just do 10.
Kat being
things.
Julia Stiles' character in the film.
Ah, Kat.
Cat.
So are we going to go with out of 10 today?
It's like Dojo
Marsh the film.
No.
No.
Oh God. Okay.
Because well, then my score's way too high.
Yeah, one is too high.
Yeah.
Tom, then why do we rate things out of 11?
Literally, no. It is the thing that I said. That's 100%. Oh, like that was my bit.
That was your bit.
She decided
you
on 10.
You prepared that.
Okay.
Good work.
Sorry, I didn't have it bees in my back pocket. I was really killing it earlier.
You should be. Shout your name if you like this film.
Marcus!
Frank!
Tom!
Yeah, oh, duh! Of course we all like it. Ooh. One of the greatest teen rom-coms of all time.
One of, if not the best.
Based on Shakespeare, so you know it's got lots of interwoven plots and people out to get each other and mysterious deals.
Uh-huh. That aside, backhanded stuff. That aside, it's kind of great still.
Lots of iambic pentameter as well, which it, is
that
good.
That gets name dropped in this. And I pictured you like Leo in that meme going like, they said it.
Yeah. And also 10 things I hate about you. 10 syllables I talk about in the couplet of.
Mm-hmm. Yes. All great sentences end with of.
It be.
It be.
Yes, so sue me. All right. Numbers. Scores. Give me some of them.
Truly 10.
Whoa. 10.
That is actually how I feel about this movie, which I know feels a little convenient. Oh, but
I'm
going
to go 9. And I think I know what's going
to be. No, because I feel cheeky if I put it as the same as my favourite film of all time. So it's 9.9.
Oh, damn.
It should be 10.
I think you're going to give this
a secret 10.
Marcus,
don't tell American Beauty.
Yeah, whisper straight into the mic.
Oh, wait, the microphone's in front of me. This is better than American Beauty.
He's up there too.
A tiny bit, yeah.
He's purely for the
put
legacy.
Down, Chachi.
Great. Yeah.
Tick that off my list.
How good is that? What's that guy's name? Daryl Chill Wills or whatever the actor's name? Something.
Daryl Mitchell.
Daryl Chill Mitchell. Yeah, his middle. his stage name is Daryl Chill Mitchell.
He's not chill.
Mr.
At
Morgan.
All.
You know, he's great. Yeah. He's so good.
He is so good.
Someday you're going to get bitch slapped. I ain't going to do a thing to stop it. Oh, so good.
I think it's a really good assignment. Office.
Out.
Now.
Get out of my class. Get out. And then in the outtakes.
Pinkies. Out.
Perkies. Perkies. Out. Perkies. Perkies.
Perkies.
No. Cut. Start of the shot. Oh, yeah. Okay. Sorry. We're getting so far ahead of ourselves. Woo. We're at the outtakes.
We're going to assume that everyone knows this movie fairly well, but let's give a quick synopsis.
Yeah,
Like starring.
What's the synopsis?
Synopsis. A high school boy, Cameron, cannot date Bianca until her antisocial older sister, Kat, has a boyfriend. So, Cameron pays a mysterious boy, Patrick, to charm Kat. That doesn't cover it.
Not really. It's a bit of a burying the lead because, which the movie does.
It's a bit hanging her hat on it, calling it a fan or something.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Julia Stiles, Heath Ledger, and the other girl.
Leanne.
Larissa Olejnik.
Olejnik. Really interesting name.
Alex Mack.
I've seen this movie 1,000 times. It
shit.
Wasn't until this.
Wait, is it?
No.
Yeah,
no,
she's
no,
Alex
no,
Mack.
Sorry, Marcus.
No, hold on.
You've seen this movie on average 15 times
no,
a year.
No, hold on.
And you don't know.
And he's the king
hold
of.
Hold on.
King of let me finish and won't let me finish.
Hang on. Go on.
Who?
I knew her from Third Rock from the Sun.
Oh yeah.
So
is she the love interest in that with Joseph Gordon-Levitt, or are they
pretty sure?
That's great.
Yeah,
that's fun.
So
and then they got married in real life.
And I thought Alex Mack was a different actress entirely; just looked similar. I just thought she was just generic.
I thought she was Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
See, that's silly.
Yeah, and then I looked them up.
So who's
and I was
the silly
like,
one
I'm,
now?
I was like, I'm way off.
Who's the silly one now, Frank?
So silly me. I was way off. And I looked it up
Marcus
and I was like,
two,
you know
Frank
what?
One.
I was wrong.
Sit
I was
down.
Wrong.
Pipe
they don't
down
look alike.
Chachi.
Okay. Also, David,
this is the movie somehow that does this to us.
David Krumholtz.
David Krumholtz.
He
amazing.
Is fantastic.
He's so funny.
He's so, as a teenage actor in this, like they're all very good. But there's something so stoic and strong about him in his performance that it's like he's been doing this for fucking centuries.
Like, he looks like he's 50, he owns but also that set. 20.
He is slightly older. Everyone else is basically 18, 19, and he's like 21, I think. Okay. So I know it's not much, but it is just that thing where you're like, yeah, he does have that advanced look. Whereas I think Larissa Olenek and Julia Stiles are like 3 months apart. They're both 18.
Yeah.
Heath Ledger's 19 when they're filming. I think Joseph Gordon-Levitt's 18. Weirdly enough, kind of hard to find the birth date for the guy who plays Joey, whose name I can't remember.
Andrew Keegan.
His birthday's not on Wikipedia.
Ooh.
A photo of him recently is, which people can check that out and try and carbon date him if they want. Bit tricky. But he was born in 1979, turns out. So he was about 19 as well at the same time.
Sure.
He looks 30. Like a good looking 30.
You reckon?
Joey does not look like a teenage man. No. He looks like.
No, Heath doesn't look like a teenage man.
Say again.
He does when
Heath
he's in his
singlet. Doesn't either.
When
I
he's
agree.
In his singlet, he does.
It's amazing. He's quite
he's
skinny.
He's lean.
Yeah.
Yes.
But not saying like, but it's like,
I still think he looks a lot older. He's got such a strong jaw. He's quite solid. He's
especially
tall.
Next to like Joseph Gordon Levitt, who is 4 foot tall.
Yes.
It's like the miniature version.
He's Pinocchio come to life. Like Joseph Gordon-Levitt. The only two in this movie who genuinely look like teenagers are Larissa Olenek and Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah,
and everyone else, you're like, were they all in their 20s? And it turns out they mostly weren't, but they just kind of looked a little older.
Andrew Keegan was in Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Was he really?
Isn't that funny?
How about that? He's also in one episode of House, which is the only other thing I've seen him in.
Huh.
But he's great as Joey.
And Frank, you were great in this film.
As who?
His headshots are almost identical to your headshots. In fact, can we put that on the socials?
No.
I'm going to do a side-by-side
Who's comparison. In charge of the socials?
Yeah.
Marcus.
Sorry.
Reluctantly, sorry, I must now say, and Kath and I both agreed on this watching this the other day.
Careful.
You were also very good in this film.
God damn it.
As
the dad. It's not going to be the, it's not going to be the nice one.
I do think there was a time, you know, the years they have done what they will. But there was a time where when you were like at the same age and the same length hair, you and Heath did share a remarkable resemblance.
I'll take it.
I do genuinely have moments where I look at Heath and I'm like, wow, that reminds me of Marcus a lot.
Do you know who reminded me of Tom in this film? I don't know if there's no joke that's better than that.
I'm just giggling.
It's got to be, is it Bogey or Fogey?
No, it's Alice and Janney.
Oh my God, let's go with Bogey. That's way better though.
Bogey, yeah, Bogey, the guy who plays golf and is rich and wears sweaters.
Yeah.
That's okay. He's straight out of Animal House.
Now remember, guys. Don't touch anything.
Yeah.
He's literally pretty funny.
That must be Lionel with the brie.
he's copy and paste from Animal House.
See, I thought you were going to say that was me.
No,
you're the dad.
That's kind of funny, actually.
I'm not the dad.
No, okay. That is funny.
Oh, I like that.
Larry Miller. He's fantastic.
Everyone is
no animal rituals
cast.
Of any kind. Oh, God, I'm giving them ideas.
Put on the belly before you go.
He's so
funny. Hell is just a sauna.
You know what she said to me? She said, I should have listened to my father. Daddy, she did not. Well, that's what she would have said if she wasn't so doped up.
What about? Thanks, Bill.
Yeah.
Everything he says in this movie is great and then very actually quite touching near the end as well. We're jumping all over the place. We love this movie. Our generation was, I don't know about you guys, I was raised by this. This was one of those DVDs where I would, whenever the adults had a party, and there were kids anywhere between the age of 7 and 15, and they went down the DVD room, chances are we put this
Tom,
on.
How many
DVD room?
The DVD
room.
Yeah, actually had
rich,
a DVD room.
Rich, yeah. Very, very
it
rich.
It was Tom, a many, fireplace with a blanket in front of it, basically.
And a whole bunch of dead huntsmans as well.
Yes.
Maybe not so rich anymore.
No.
It sounds like a dungeon.
Yeah. How many times on average would you watch this during a year?
On average, how many times?
Well, back in those days, six every fortnight.
I think there is one movie that I can genuinely say I've watched more than this, and that would be Starship Troopers. I reckon I've seen Starship Troopers like 60 times.
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably this would be like high 40s.
Wow.
Maybe like even 50. Yeah. So watching it the other day, I was like, yeah, I know every line.
Flick and I watched this maybe once a month. This is absurd.
Almost as much as like, Interview with the Vampire.
This is Flick. Like, I love this film. Yeah, I know. This is Flick's comfort film.
Yeah.
Big
it's
time.
Great. I mean, a lot movie. Of people's comfort film.
Also, Cat is my Flick. Flick is my Cat. Just going to put that out there now. This has always been a big thing for me, but I've always found them to be very similar. Love it. don't regret saying.
What do you like? What's so similar about them?
Just fiercely independent and just know who they want to be, you know?
Penis bitch is the term used most often.
Okay, wow.
I love you for listening.
Yeah. Tumescent. Tumescent.
Tumescent. Perfect.
So funny.
Quotable. Endlessly quotable film.
Amazing. So Gil Younger.
Gil Younger is how his name's pronounced. I had to look it up.
Okay, I was way off.
Yeah.
He directed Younger. This film. He we did. Should give props to him, although...
He then did...
Yeah, nothing. Then did...
Black Knight, a movie I've inexplicably seen.
Is that the Martin Lawrence?
Yeah. Yes, which is what if Martin Lawrence was in medieval times and shenanigans will ensue, which they do.
Well, they just took him back in real time and he's
skateboard. You could just imagine the pitch for Martin Lawrence in the late 90s, early 2000s was The Black, and then they just rolled some dice and saw what came up. And went, yep, The Black Janitor. Like, let's do it. Whatever, you know?
It's a great. This is like back in the day.
That's almost one of the funniest things I've ever seen. I'm sorry.
Back in the day where films like that just happened, they would just do a concept.
That sent me. Sorry. I'm actually crying for some reason. Go on.
He also then went on to do the 10 Things I Hate About You TV show.
Oh,
yeah. And Larry Miller was in it as well.
Really?
Yeah, he reprised the role as Mr. Stafford, right? That's their last name.
Why did they do that?
Yeah. Right. I mean, Larry Miller's great whenever he's in anything. He's great in The Princess Diaries, a movie we shan't talk about, but that I did watch. And Larry Miller is, what's his name, Carlo?
Why did you watch Princess Diaries?
No reason.
Tell the listener.
Because I'm an idiot.
I won't raise right. I don't read it to the end of sentences.
It be.
Because it be.
That's not explaining.
Oh, I watched The Princess Diaries because Marcus suggested Princess Bride for one of the films that we were going to do. We've already done this in a bit. We've covered this.
I don't think we have.
Yeah, okay.
I just wanted you to acknowledge it.
Anyway.
All right. So
Larry Miller's very funny.
Written by Karen McCulloch, Kirsten Smith and William Shakespeare, of course, as we've said. But these two, Karen and Kirsten, have done what? She's the Man, this. I just thought you would know.
I'm actually not sure about this.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Such a good, like, legacy.
They're good.
Well, I see. I do not like She's the Man.
The House Bunny? You don't like?
Oh, The House Bunny, based on Macbeth, famously. So this is what they do.
The Ugly Truth, based on what? Cymbeline?
Yes. Cymbeline, you fuck.
So sue me.
I have an acting degree.
Legally Blonde. Legally Blonde was the other one that they did as well, which is
Legally Blonde.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah, that movie rules.
Yeah. Oh, Doyle rules.
Do you know, I'm sorry, I have to. Do you know the guy who's kind of on the spectrum in Legally Blonde, who's like really tall and really awkward?
You're not in Legally Blonde.
Yes, no, I'm there. 100%.
Oh, okay, go on.
The guy who's like, he's part of the study group that Elle gets going.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, he directed Long Legs. His name's Osgood Perkins, and he's the director.
As Dorky David.
Dorky David, yeah. He directed Long Legs. Very weird. Anyway, Legally Blonde rules. Okay. She's the Man is fine.
No,
I agree with you. I think it's
the
okay.
more I watch it, the more I despise it.
Sure.
I used to like it, and then the more I watch it, honestly, I'm like, this is actually not great.
You hate soccer and assertive women, so how could you like it?
Sure.
It's too close to home.
Yeah.
There's a bit of distance for 10 Things I Hate About You.
Anyway, this is 10
stronger.
Things I Hate About You is stronger. Far stronger.
This movie's a masterpiece.
But like, She's the Man is like also at a similar level of quotableness.
Mm.
The cast isn't as strong. That's it.
All right. I'm not with you on that one. I'm not going to argue about it.
That's fine. Hey, agree to disagree.
I would give She's the Man like a 7. Like, I'm not going to go bad for it, but I enjoy it. I have to watch it a lot with my students. But it is based on 12th Night and then
12th.
And it then just, 10 it, Things. Sorry, Marcus.
If I'm comparing the two. No, well, sorry, because I cut that's you off. Right. But if we're comparing the two, She's the Man to me is far too, not slapstick, but it's cringy. Right?
I agree.
Whereas this, for a teen, whatever it is, just hits the mark with everything. Like, it's so quotable.
Yeah.
It's so real. The soundtrack's phenomenal. The ensemble cast is great. Like, it's hard to point out someone who's genuinely weak. There's some moments even in 10 Things where you're like, it's a crowd scene or something. You're kind of like, oh, you can imagine being on set for this shot, for example.
There's one extra in, they're at the prom and it's when Joey has just hit Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Cameron.
Yeah.
And the one extra who's directly behind them. So it's like a close-up of him and he's like,
Yeah.
Is he really into it?
Oh, watch out.
oh yeah, but he's being silent and kind of like still kind of dancing.
Wow.
It's so weird because then in the credits, it's like the behind the scenes and they're making jokes about the punch and stuff, and he's still there going, oh
yeah. I thought you were going to talk about the guy who, there's the drunk girl who throws herself at Heath Ledger and she's like, kiss me. And Heath Ledger goes, kiss him, and yeah. gives it to somebody. He's like, hey, thanks. And 10 minutes later walks past him. He's like, really? Really, thank you. Yeah. And my favorite thing about this movie is it never passes up the opportunity to get a gag. It's like, what can we do?
Yeah.
Let's shoot the guy in the ass with an arrow, right? Yeah. Let's have that.
Then,
and no one acknowledges it except Gabriel Union. Everyone just kind of keeps going about their day.
And then it's called back to.
When he goes to sit down in detention.
It's amazing.
Larry Miller with his exercise thing getting flung out of his hands. Yeah. You know? Yeah. Every
Which is a great joke, and then has a second. There's always a follow-up joke.
Yes.
To almost everything.
Fogey? Have we established just Fogey? Because every time I Google.
Bogey Lowenstein.
It is Bogey.
Bogey Lowenstein.
Bogey. Because it was always changed between F and B. I could never tell what that
I think they keep getting his name wrong to symbolize that no one really cares. Like Joey.
Is that what it is?
Joey at one point calls him like Bogey Lowenbrow or something. Just to kind of be like, yeah, I don't really know this guy, but we're going to go to his party.
It's Bogey Lowenstein.
Yeah, Bogey Lowenstein.
Yeah, Bogey's teeing off into an open stadium of people who are all working
this
out and shit.
School. Like, there's no H&S.
It's insane.
And they all play so many sports. Again, rich. There's a rich school for sure.
Have you guys seen Booksmart?
No.
My favorite thing about Booksmart and Bottoms, two movies in the last few years, is the cues they take from this where they're like, quietly, 10 Things I Hate About You is a bit of a surreal film. It's like, this is not a real high school. And we get that right from the start when Alice and Janney, something gets thrown at the window and she goes, same little ass wipe shit for brains everywhere. And Joseph Gordon-Levitt, as our audience surrogate, is like, what did she
did
just
you
say?
Just,
like,
yeah. Am I in the right
you're
office?
Not allowed to speak that way.
Yeah.
And then she's constantly making sexual references and writing her novel about Reginald's
Bratwurst.
Quivering member.
Bratwurst.
Quivering member.
Yeah.
I like that. So good. And yeah, we're invited to be like, yeah, you guys get it. We've done a lot of high school movies before. This one's kind of at odd angles. There are things happening. One of my favorite shots is them throwing the pamphlets for Bogey's party to
incredible
to
shot.
Sexy boy and brilliant
sexy boy.
Yeah.
And then a few minutes later, when everyone's going to the party, and it's like, yeah, you know how parties are. Everyone shows up at once in a giant mob, like they're going to attack.
It's
just 100 people.
The pamphlets are like, don't call, just turn up.
Oh. But the precursor to that, like you said, it's like, oh, that must be Nigel with the breeze.
Nigel with the breeze.
Immediately,
chaos.
House gets,
remember,
door gets kicked in.
Don't touch anything.
It's so good. It's so good.
He also looks twice the age of the kids he's hosting.
Oh, he looks like a teacher.
So in his 30s.
It's weird.
If you're going to fight, take it outside. It's so funny. This movie never sits still. It's always like, what can we do next? What can we do next?
It's packed full. It absolutely is.
The montage of the boys that they go to try and get to date Kat.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe if we were the last two people on Earth and there are no sheep. Are there sheep? Who the fuck wrote this? This movie is incredible. It's so much funnier and more inventive than
there's a really
90% of movies.
If we're just talking about moments we love, there's a really great moment in the science lab when the boys are talking about using Patrick as their thing, you know, their target, their mark.
Yep.
And they're kind of staring at him, and then he catches them staring at him and they look away real quick, and then he, like, still looking at them, just starts putting his hand casually through the Bunsen burner.
Yeah, just playing.
But he doesn't
flames.
Look at the Bunsen burner or, like, go back to that. He's still looking at them, and then just his hand just decides to just magically start.
Yes.
It's very funny.
And then he drills through Cameron's book.
Yeah.
Then Michael goes to Joey and gets the dick drawn on his face quite well, I would say. Like,
it's
very,
not a
very
bad dick.
Very economic.
But
I had that done to me at high school.
David Krumholtz had to teach him how to draw it because he couldn't draw it a little too bit.
That's so funny.
Hey, this is how a dick looks.
Maybe
you hadn't seen one.
Young Eugene Levy, right?
For sure. But also. For sure. Jake Johnson from New Girl, like Nick.
Yes, 100%.
That's
so true.
That same
and
archetype.
Kind of an Oscar Isaac as well, ish. Although Oscar Isaac's like the Chad version of them all.
Yeah, 100%.
Yes.
What are you?
When I was in grade 9, my second or third day at my new school, a guy ran over to my table and introduced himself. It's like, hey, my name's Josh, and just drew on my face and ran away. And I was like, oh, did he write Josh? And I went and looked in the mirror, and he'd done the perfect dick from 10 Things I Hate About You. And I couldn't be mad. I was like, it's so impressive that you can do that quickly, and it looks pretty good, right? You know? That's my story of getting a dick on my
face.
You
couldn't be mad.
You couldn't be mad.
You probably should have been.
No, well,
I stood up for yourself, man. God. Who don't we like in this movie? Who's your weakest link if we're going to love everyone?
Yep. Okay.
Probably Larissa, but I think she still does what is necessary.
I wrote a note about this because I was like, look, I don't see the infatuation. I said this to Flick. I was like, there's the opening scene where Cameron's walking through the school. He's getting all the clicks and stuff, which again, in a teen film is done to death. Like this whole thing is so cliched and full of tropes and still
But it's slanting a little bit. It's just slanting to a little bit more of an extreme level. These guys are dressed like Bob Marley. These guys are dressed like dudes drinking cappuccinos in Times Square. These guys are cowboys. Yes, yeah. They're literal cowboys.
Lassoing a bin.
These guys look like Wall Street yuppies. They come to school dressed like this.
So funny.
Who does this?
I know.
It's so extreme. Anyway,
Cameron walking through, getting the tour, and then he's just like, as he sees her walking through. And every time I see this scene, I'm like, I don't get it. Like, and Flick goes, well, no, because one, she's just not your type. And I was like, okay, fair. And two, she's that cutesy girl next door thing that Cameron's just like, and again, we've already nailed it. Like, they are both the youngest looking. It's sort of evenly matched. It's
good
perfect.
Casting
They're
for
in
them,
the third rock together. The chemistry is obviously there.
Yeah.
I get it now, I guess, but I still don't see her as being like the hottest chick at school. I still don't buy Joey using her as a target.
Now, this is a point I kind of liked. I was like, I love the casting of Julia Stiles. She's beautiful, but she's fairly plain. And they dress her plain. There's not a lot of makeup, no effort in the hair because
Absolutely.
That's her character.
They give her that tomboyish.
Which is great. And Larissa is very pretty. She's gorgeous. Girl, yeah,
she's wearing floral things.
But it's also sort of downplayed. She's not like this total babe. It's not like she's a mean girl. She's just a normal person.
Yeah.
Okay. I really like that. I really love the casting. And I think Joseph Gordon-Levitt, like Heath Ledger is a dreamboat and Joey's a dreamboat. Yeah. But like Joseph Gordon-Levitt's relatively normal looking.
He's cute.
He's cute, but
Joe's
like
the perfect douchebag.
It's not Chad Michael Murray.
Joey's great.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not Ashton Kutcher. It's not these boys who are like dreamboats, teen idols back then.
Oh, the 30-year-olds playing.
I love we're just getting our types out of the way.
There we are.
Let me give you my Venn diagram.
I watch One Tree Hill. Of course I love Chad Michael Murray.
All right.
This is
he can shoot
obviously
threes.
Obviously Heath Ledger's going to be a fucking star.
Language.
When you see him in this. Like you see him in this and you're like,
it's
this
his first
guy,
American film.
He has to be Blow big up. From this, right? Yeah, for sure. I see the comparison between him and Joseph. I see that Joseph being a younger version of him. Like you can see they've got sort of slightly squintier eyes.
If you put their face on top of each other's face, it's very similar, but I think they're entirely different.
They've got a very different persona.
Yes.
And size. Joseph Gordon-Levitt is like they're just.
Yeah, the hips. The hips are different.
My hot take, and I don't know if this is intentional, but I think it works and plays well with the film. I think Heath Ledger takes a while to get going. In this, to the point where, because I've seen it 1,000 times, hadn't seen it in maybe 5 or 6 years, and I was watching it the other day and I was 25 minutes in and I was like, is Heath not good in this? Like, have I misremembered this and he's a little off? And it's not that he's bad. Initially, he's just kind of whatever. You're not really meant to pay attention to him.
He starts playing the game a bit, right?
So much more, and he starts coming out of his shell.
Because the hey girly line is really jarring. Do you remember he goes, hey girly.
You feel him straining there and trying to be charming. But the scene with him and Alice and Janney at the start, when he goes into her office, he's really almost asleep in that scene. I was joking with the lunch lady. It was a bratwurst sort of thing. And they're like, you're not engaged.
Do less, man.
That's the point for his character. But it is kind of
But also, this is his 8th visit this week or something. Didn't you
sure, like, he's there every
so
day.
So he's like, here I think we go it makes, again, going through the motions.
As an actor, I think that decision makes sense. And also in the structure of the film, it makes sense. Because he doesn't really come alive in terms of going, oh, he's great. The fire. The drilling, when he's like, whoa, he's dangerous, he's got an edge. But it's the scene at the party when his cat gets a concussion.
Mm. Immediately.
Immediately you go,
I love this
wow,
man.
What a guy.
Even just him standing at the door waiting for her and smiling. Yeah. Yeah. But going to the club to see her as well. There's so many things that happen.
And of course it's just.
Do you mind you're ruining this for me, that moment?
Do you mind
you're ruining this for me?
Yeah.
It's kind of nice.
Seeing you up there, I've never seen you look so sexy. So good.
Great. And again, like another very cliched moment and somehow super endearing. Her reaction to that in that moment.
Yes.
Also
she's so good.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't overplay that either. That's a very understated reaction to that. She kind of just like quietly gills to it a little bit.
She's a very good actress.
She's
very
wonderful.
Good.
Yeah,
Their chemistry is outstanding.
Then she's insanely good in Save the Last Dance. That's why her dancing's not as good in this.
That's how she got that role. She can really dance, kind of.
When she gets down on her knees, you're like, okay, this is getting a little. But for a couple of seconds, get her down on your knees, that's tough.
But I'll tell you who I didn't like in this film was Bianca's friend.
Gabrielle Union.
Yeah.
Really? From Bring It On.
She's just mean. There's not really much to her.
I would say doesn't get much to do. But I love her in the start.
Can you ever be one? Yeah. I don't know if you can be overwhelmed and underwhelmed, but you ever just be whelmed?
I think you can in Europe.
Yeah. And I like my sketches, but I love my Prada backpack.
Feels like a fresh out of Mean Girls.
That's because you don't have a Prada backpack.
It is true. These are lines that...
You're forcing me to find a weaker character. I think
Joseph Gordon-Levitt is my weaker
and it's
link.
And Kat's friend as well, who's kind of just in love with Shakespeare. And she has a couple of good lines.
I forgot about her.
She's a pretty big non-entity in the movie. But she does have... The one scene that's beautiful when she comes to the prom and then she sees Michael on the stage dressed up and them together is actually quite sweet, which is miraculous because you're like, she's not a character and yet this sort of works.
But you're in that world, you're buying into everything. Plus we love David Krumholtz. So we're like, if he's getting a win.
He's so good in this.
He's so good. My balls!
How do we feel about, because I had to mark it down for something. I was like, there's a couple of things in this film that's always not sat right with me. Mm. The insertion of the actual Shakespeare dialogue.
Love it.
I love it too.
Do you?
Yeah, I think it's goofy, but in a really winning
way.
It is.
In the way that it's like Cameron, of course, it goes, I pine, I burn.
Yeah.
That one in particular is one that I'm like,
It's very based on Shakespeare.
I prefer the Easter eggs. I don't mind subtle Easter eggs throughout, or even just him dressing as Shakespeare at one point and her being infatuated with the Shakespeare character is probably a bit too on the nose for me.
Yeah.
I think just take the story and have your Easter eggs hidden throughout.
But what would you hide? Like you've got a little shrew somewhere.
Well, Kat, she was a shrew for sure.
They actually say the shrew. You've met the shrew.
Yeah.
He says that at some point. And then Ledger goes,
that's fine.
So you're going to help me tame the wild beast. And it's like, I didn't say shrew.
Yeah.
What is it with this chick? She got beer flavored nippers.
That's fine.
So
I think that's a
nippers.
Use
nippers.
It.
Yeah. It's like nipples, but it's Australian.
I pine, I burn, I burn, I whatever.
I Bjorn. Baby Bjorn.
I Bjorn. Baby Bjorn. It doesn't really hit the notes for me.
When they're in the cafeteria and he's like, you know, sacrifice yourself on the altar of like indignity or whatever. He's like, don't say shit like that to him. Yeah. People can hear you. It's not a scene in this movie goes by where I don't go like, I love that. I love that moment. Yeah. I love it.
It's very smartly written.
It is. It's a very, very quietly clever film.
I was going to say before, the awesome thing is also, what was this? What year did it come out?
99.
Heath Ledger, full consent. She's drunk. Doesn't do anything. Yep. And it's very easy to see, and that's how it's done. So like, hey, here's a life lesson,
true. It's
boys.
Very straightforward.
So good.
It's very simple, and it's like, it's a shame that that should have to be an aspirational thing. But it is true. He kind of goes like, I'm the bad boy in this movie, and I'm not going to make out with a drunk chick.
Yeah.
I will say Kath and I had
a
conversation.
He's not the bad boy in the movie, though.
He's presented as that, and then it turns out he's not really.
Yeah.
The thing that I found a little bit strange watching it this time that I hadn't really – picked up on years previous, obviously with the sort of, you know, basement dwelling incels of the world emerging more and more online. Cameron has a tiny bit of that energy, which it hasn't aged great. When he's in the car with Bianca at the end and he's like, I was nice to you and I defended you and I did all this for you and you
learned French.
You're not even gonna let me nut. It's like, okay, man, like you gotta calm down, bro. You are not entitled to anything because of all this.
That's a good point. But
I don't hate Cameron. I just think that some of that stuff's a little, and Kath picked up on the line, don't ever let anyone feel like you don't deserve what you want. And I'm like, that's a nice sentiment that can obviously be twisted the wrong way.
Yep.
But I do think, especially when he starts it with, you're not half the man Joey is. How does this movie sell us on this when it's like they've had two conversations? And somehow I believe him that he actually knows
Time
Cameron
has passed
well.
And, you know, again, it just comes down to chemistry.
There's a world.
We believe these actors. We love them.
Yes.
And we love the paintball scene.
I do.
love the paintball scene.
Me too.
Very good.
The kiss in the haystack is cute. And
it's one of the best kisses of all time.
What's the song playing in that scene? That I should be able to remember, but I can't right now.
Is
I
it can't. Paintball time, paintball time, come on, a paintball time.
Oh my God. No, that's, it is. No, it is.
Yeah, that's
no,
it. It is. That's
100%.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a good song.
That's that one from Frozen, isn't it? It's weird how they had that 14 years earlier.
Speaking of the soundtrack, it is very God. Good, obviously.
This is a great soundtrack. Do we have it? Oh.
Oh.
Oh. Oh. Oh.
This is a banger, actually. Are you ready, Steve? I've already made this joke.
Keep going.
Yeah.
We okay then.
I missed it.
I'll retie that. I love the scene at the end where it's like, how did they get all that gear on the roof?
Yeah, that's great.
One, and then just the epic helicopter shot to finish the movie.
Yeah.
How awesome.
And you actually get idea. In the credits like, as you see the big push. It's like helicopter pilot is credited. Yeah, and I'm like, how's he fucking should
they're
be?
Like, yeah. Hey guys, before we wrap this, we're definitely under budget. So what we're going to do.
No, I think they were over budget. They're like, so we have to just. Extras are carrying gear up the stairs, put it up. But it's set up, they've got like full fold-back speakers. It's not just like for show, it's set up like a gig.
Yeah.
It's just little moments, little incredible. Tidbits, details that
can
matter.
Can I read you my favorite review of the film?
Oh, 10 things I love about the film.
Yeah. Sweet, yeah.
I read, because again, it's a film that we all love. I had a weird feeling we're all going to come in swinging for it. I wanted to look at the one stars on this film. Just like, what's the negative on this film? This is a good one. I'm going to read it verbatim. Here we go.
I should try read it.
I pee-pee my pants.
Good movie, but very definitely an R.
Oh.
The PG-13 is a truly inept rating. And that's the subject header.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
How long is this?
It's short. Okay, here we go. This is not a PG-13 movie you see with your children unless you are a particularly emancipated adult. What is happening here? How in the world this ever got less than an R is utterly beyond me. The what? Matrix got an R and this gets a PG-13?
Did The Matrix get an R?
It did.
Did it?
Give me a break. This was a terribly embarrassing movie to see with my 12 and 15-year-old daughters. I expected a PG-13 adaptation of Shakespeare. Oh here we go. God. I got a nearly NC-17 rating. As an R movie, I would have liked it. But have left the girls at home?
Would have left the girls.
Would have left the girls. So they PG their pants.
What?
Almost there. I don't actually know now I said that. The ratings in America and the ratings we get here. Obviously, The Matrix was M here. It might have been R in the States.
Yeah, because Americans are
soft. Maybe it wasn't because they tend to do that for violence, but there's no real sex in The Matrix.
This is perfect for 12, 15-year-old daughters.
Literally.
Yes, it's very silly. It's like they say.
These parents obviously out of touch and goes, well, my children haven't hit puberty yet. It's like, they probably have.
She came to watch a play of Romeo and Juliet, I think.
Also, Shaming of the Shoe is like, doesn't the husband torture his wife?
Yeah.
And like starve
Petruchio, whatever his name is.
It's like Patrick is
very strange.
But people go, oh, well, you know, this was Shakespeare. It's more refined. It's more, you know, sophisticated.
Shakespeare was a yobbo.
Shakespeare was dropping like C-bombs in his plays for people to find. In like Twelfth Night, there's like, you know, cunt jokes in there. So it's like,
that's come on.
It truly is. It's in there. It's
you
great.
You can't say that here.
It's a great bit. Oh, that beep was late.
I miss it.
Was it late or loud?
No, late.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. And loud. It's very silly that someone would think that because crazy. They say the word shit, they say the word dick once.
I have a dick on my face, don't I?
No, twice then. The whole cheerleading squad would find out how tiny his dick is. Also gets said in a very funny way.
Also, I do
moment.
Love that little side story of Joey and Kat hooking up.
I think it does lend the film a lot more texture and it makes you believe in the ecosystem of these people's lives. Just like you were saying before, like we know time has passed.
I did say ecosystem of these people's lives.
No, you're right. Sorry. Yes. I upped it a little.
That makes sense that I would say that.
No, that was erroneous of me. I apologize. But like there is a genuine sense that things are playing out off screen. And prior, I think the little bit underdeveloped thing is to do with the mum. You know,
Kath did she die or did she leave?
She left. And that's Kath and I are sitting there like going, not to be, you know, not to bring this into the real world too much, but like these girls got to like 15, 16 in an upper middle class or like a comfortable middle class suburb and the mum left? What? In what world? Like and, this this doesn't really.
And why? And wouldn't the daughters maybe like they're not.
They've lost contact with her. They never
they
talk
don't
to,
speak
her again.
To her again.
Did and she not? She didn't die. She just left.
She left. It's like it's not like she's you know mum
and didn't take her pearls.
When mum left and all this sort of stuff. Didn't take her pearls. But I was saying it's kind of – there's a similar plot point in Juno, which is interesting. Although in Juno she does keep in contact with her mum. Her mum sends her a cactus every year for her birthday, which is
also
interesting.
Also Alice
detail.
And Jenny, amazing.
Also Alice and Jenny, true. But yeah, very, very weird detail in this movie. I don't think that's the part that works with the bond between the daughters so much.
You would think it would bring them closer together as a trio of a family if their mum had left and like –
Yeah,
you know,
but that's coming from two like boys. Like I think sisters –
Yeah, true. Maybe.
Are just an opposing force by nature, I think.
It's more than
more
they...
More times than not. I think that's just like... Or it's one or the other, but I just think that that's the path
I'm surprised that they're not more, like, messed up.
I don't think they bring it enough up enough for it to be specific, and I don't think it's hinted at enough to be sort of an ambient property of their family. It just feels like a, and by the way, and I'm like, well, that doesn't really... Mm. Whereas the conversation they have about Joey... And Katerina revealing that she had sex with him
just after Mum left.
Quietly, a little bit heartbreak. Just after Mum left,
which
and that kind
that
of
makes sense because
works a little.
Yeah, but, you're looking for love.
But then Bianca's like, "Why would you not tell me that?"
Yeah,
like why? And at the same time, is feeling like, well, Katerina's entitled to her privacy, and that's not about you. But then when you see her going with Joey, she goes to tell her at the party, but it doesn't like quite come out. And I get that. I get that sort of feeling like a misuse or a misabuse of the trust. It leads to one of the most beautifully and sort of like iconically melodramatic shots of the movie, which is as Sister Hazel's Your Winter plays. It zooms in on Kat's window and we see Bianca on a swing down in the backyard, just like,
like, I love that shot. I do love the scene, you know, that we're just talking about is, and then it's like, I was trying to protect you and she was like, I'm allowed to experience things for myself. And it's like, you can see both sides.
You can.
Of course you agree.
You can't always trust who you want to, Bianca. Well, I guess I'll never know.
Yeah.
And it's very well written. It's very sharp. I think it's a really lovely movie. I want to say something real quick, just Butler's Pantry, if that's all right, just about this movie's legacy.
Legacy.
Fucking hell.
Amazing. I slipped, I apologize.
Shouldn't have left that loot sitting at the top of the butler's pantry. We have an app called Letterboxd. And I don't know if you guys know this.
Are they paying you?
Yeah, sometimes.
Okay, sure. It shouldn't be. Go on. No.
Why do we care about this?
This is interesting to me. This is a film that you would think only matters to maybe it'll be interesting to other people. Maybe let him finish. This is a film that we grew up with. We're in our 30s.
Yeah.
Letterboxd skews towards a younger generation, tends to be people between 18 and 25, although the next demographic is 26 to 35. Mm. If you look for each decade, you can see what the most popular films are.
Mm.
What do you think? Where would this film be in the 90s? Just at a guess.
Like, Hold on, rephrase the question.
What number in the list of most popular films of the 90s?
In the decade of the 90s?
In the decade of the 90s. I'll tell you what's in the top 20.
Yeah, I was going to say 11.
It's 6. This is the 6th most popular 90s film on Letterboxd with kids between the ages of, or young people, 18 and 25. You misunderstood
that
the question from
game.
The get-go.
Fun game.
Maths was not your strong suit.
So, I give it 100.
Wait, just let me. I reckon 6th.
Okay.
Whoa.
I reckon it was all 20. Yes. So kids 18 to 25 love this movie, and it's because it has this weird legacy with quotable moments. You know, lines like the overwhelmed and underwhelmed live on TikTok, like in infamy, right? Other lines throughout this movie, the Larry Miller's lines are, we're screwed. Hey, I don't want to hear that defeatist attitude. We're screwed. That exists. But obviously the bit we haven't talked about is Heath Ledger's song.
Dude, I was going to bring this up. Go ahead. That's part of your band. No.
That's all I was going to say.
That's your pantry.
The iconography.
It's popular on.
I was just going to say that it easily has to be, and it is the most iconic scene in the entire film.
I agree.
And the best.
Yeah.
It is my opinion. Wonderful.
It just, it's, oh man, I just love this scene so fucking much. It makes me smile just thinking about it right now.
It's a Frankie Valli song, right?
I don't know why it works as well as it does. It shouldn't work.
It shouldn't work as well. You should find it too goofy.
I think it should.
It absolutely should work. I believe in it in every point of the film because...
Yeah, sorry.
But I don't think it is that goofy in the world we're living in. People are getting shot in the butt and having this ridiculous house. Like, this is a pretty extra world.
Yeah.
And he starts it off fairly normal.
He Yeah, and he just decides to sing all of a sudden. And we
Throw yourself on the altar of Vin Diesel. Indignity. She's embarrassed, so he needs to embarrass himself to balance it out.
Yeah, yeah.
It's an act of love.
I'm saying it is. Loving. It's perfect.
Yeah,
it is.
I just think that on paper, it maybe would have been a weird concept to get behind initially. I don't know. It's so large.
I've never thought, oh, this is strange. I was like, yep, in it. And I kind of think it lands within the world. I've never questioned it.
And then the band kicks in and she turns around. Man. And his moves are so smooth.
He evades the cops and he does the little jazz run.
Cheeky little trickster. Yes.
Also, pretty good singer.
He's got a bit
high for him, but that's all right.
Right at the end, you hear the strain and it adds to the charm. Pushing to get that last
bit
out.
And what's great about it is it's a real vocal. Yeah. It's not like this, we're going to auto-tune this bit. It's just there you go.
That's just Ledger.
He was Heath Legend.
What a legend. There's the spectrum between goofy and charming, and it's riddled with cringe potholes, and he misses every single one of them. He's always just hitting that right balance, which is a feat.
Which I think is just testament to his commitment, because he just does it.
Does A Knight's Tale follow this?
Yeah, Knight's Tale's like 3 years after, maybe even only 2 years. It's in the very quite early 2000s. We were looking at Ledger's.
This is also Shakespeare. I forgot about this one.
Yeah, it's 2 years after.
Well, Knight's Tale is not Shakespeare.
Is it not?
No. It references Geoffrey Chaucer because it's got Paul Bettany as Chaucer in it.
Why did I think it was referencing Shakespeare?
It's just got like the Middle Eastern. Oh, the Middle Eastern. Whoa. Jesus Christ. The Middle Age properties to it.
Yeah.
there's something remarkable about Ledger's filmography. He was in 18-ish movies. About 6 or 7 of them you could straight up say either don't exist or were just so low budget or whatever. And then of the 12 that are left, probably 4 or 5 of them you could go, do we really care about Casanova? Do we really care about the Brothers Grimm? So you've left with
Lords of Dogtown.
So you're left with The Patriot, a movie people really like. A very small role in Monsters Ball, but a very pivotal role. Mm. Devastating in that.
Candy.
This movie, Candy, Two Hands, Dark Knight, Brokeback Mountain, and I guess you could make a swing for Parnassus as his final role. Yeah. There's like 7 or 8 movies, really, in his canon, and he has one of the most outsized legacies of any actor of the last 30 years. No one will forget.
Because I think, like, obviously there's been a lot of actors in their time that have been taken before their time,
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that Heath Ledger is the one. I think that he's probably the one that people said he was taken far too early. He's the top of the top.
And of the legacy of films, it's like, look at the turn he was starting to
seriously
make.
Seriously, just at the films starting to hit it.
Yeah.
Oh, and we'll never, so ever devastating. Get to know that.
And
that is devastating.
I believe he's one of the most beloved people on set in the world. Yeah. He was so down to earth, kind. And just loved
he
everyone.
Set the
like,
benchmark
no judgment.
For what every actor should be striving for. I'm going to be honest.
But it's so weird because when he was cast as the Joker, we've probably spoken about. We haven't, but everyone's known that when he was cast as the Joker, he was the laughingstock.
It was very controversial.
People were like, this rom-com guy.
You know?
He can't do it.
Well, then they were like, Brokeback Mountain. But even so, what makes you think that makes him the Crown Prince of Darkness? Like, how is this going to work?
Not at all. Yeah.
Trailer drops. So everyone loses their minds. Like, all right, well, this is going to be one of the greatest performances of all time. And then he dies. He dies before the movie even comes out.
Yeah.
Mm. Parnassus was a weird movie.
Parnassus is weird. He's good in it. But
yeah,
it's not much. It's
the
not
film
a
itself. It's only sort of famous, I think, because of where it came out.
Well,
it's hard.
That's a hard one to know because you don't know what could have come from it.
Yes,
with Heath. You know,
for the people who don't know, he died in the middle of making Terry Gilliam's Parnassus and the Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus. And there are sequences in that movie where he goes into another universe or another realm, and he's replaced by Johnny
Colin
Depp,
Farrell.
Jude Law, and Colin Farrell in those different realms. And they do all share, especially at that time, a remarkably similar sort of visage.
Made to look very alike. It's really good.
They all donated their salaries, I believe, to his family for that movie.
I believe that's correct.
Yes.
They did, yeah.
Which was a good thing for them to do.
It's really sad to think about.
I know, it actually.
What a guy.
Yeah.
What a handsome star with so much talent.
Yeah. I think maybe the only one who comes to mind besides him from the last few decades is Chadwick. I can't really think of anyone else who we've lost who people go, that's insane.
That and also, is gone. I stand and by unexpected. This is another thing that comes across.
In the last
across.
Couple of decades, you said.
In basically the 21st century, like who have we lost in the acting world where it's like they had so much more to do
and we
had so much more.
I don't know if
this
qualifies. River Phoenix was going to be huge.
River Phoenix was I think the 90s, but I agree with you that if we expand it to that far, River would be up there as well.
Yeah.
I was about to make a joke. We've lost Shia LaBeouf, haven't we? I don't know where he is.
He's
back, we've lost Jonathan Majors.
He's back.
Know. Okay, Shia LaBeouf and Jonathan Majors aren't the same.
No. They don't look the same at all. I agree with you.
Jonathan Majors wasn't in Transformers 1.
Great film. I want you, I need you, oh baby.
May we talk, if we're going to say the most iconic moments of the movie, obviously his song, Can't Take My Eyes Off of You, Bianca's lines, some of Krumholtz's lines, but of course it's the poem she reads at the end.
Had we not talked about that
it's
yet?
It's the first time watching it that it really got me this time. And it's,
it gets me every time.
It had never gotten me before. It had never made me emotional. And when she really starts to break, when she says, I hate the fact that you're not around and the fact that you didn't call, but mostly what I hate is that I don't hate you, not even a little bit.
It's
not
making me
at all.
Right now.
It's so crazy how impactful it is. I never had that moment when I was younger.
I've never cried to rhyming verse.
On that too.
But you know what I mean?
I agree.
Again, with the song and
she
this. Should be so cheesy.
That's an amazing
moment. A poem
from
in
her.
A class.
Yeah.
And again, it's like, oh, it was the first take, one take, well done, Julia. Like, that's amazing, of course. Yeah. But it's just, you just believe it. And it's like, who cares what they're saying, which is goes against
also
everything we've talked about.
Also, very beautiful use. What I said before about using Shakespeare in the film.
Mm-hmm.
Done very well.
And adapting it. That is the, like,
they've
literally,
that
that's well. The meta thing of this is a film adapted into, like, contemporary language and this is a character adapting Shakespeare into contemporary language.
One of the criticisms I heard was like, you got to adapt this sonnet. And she's like, she didn't do a sonnet. That's a poem.
That's, like, I mean, okay, Jesus Christ.
Which is, also the teacher doing the rap.
Oh, yeah.
It's the dope.
He's doing one of the sonnets. I can't remember which one.
Pretty great, though.
I think it's Sonnet 71.
Because it works so well as a rap.
Yeah.
Yeah, all of them do because they're an iambic.
It's like Jason Schwartzman in Funny People. You know who the first rapper was? Shakespeare.
Yeah, they're exactly the same.
Yeah. What's that show called?
Rhythmically cool.
Hey Teach. Yo Teach. That's what it's called. Jason Schwartzman is teaching like black inner city youths in this sitcom. I love Funny People. I want to watch that movie again.
That movie's too long.
That movie is long, but it is
all of Judd Apatow's movies are too long.
Yes. I believe This Is 40 is still running somewhere. I think they just pressed play on it and we all left the cinema.
That's what it is.
Yes.
Last one then before I'm guessing we're close to wrapping up, but we haven't done an MVP. Now, I reckon this one's going to be tough.
Yeah, that is very difficult.
Yeah.
David Krumholtz.
Yeah. See, the more we've talked about him today.
Sorry.
The more I'm almost sold on him, I still think. Sorry, my original MVP that I've written down, and I think I'm going to stick, is actually Alison Janney.
Oh yes, great shout.
She's so good.
I'm audibly laughing at her every time I see her.
Yeah,
every time, and I know what's coming. Yeah, and it still gets me. So, but it's a shame she's such a small role in it.
Give her more.
When I was younger, I remember this like Mandela effect memory of the movie where I was like, yeah, she's in the whole film. Like, she keeps popping up. And then I watched as I got older and I was like, did they cut her scenes out? Yeah. Like, where is she? She's in it for
three
six minutes at the start and she's gone.
Yeah.
But it's similar to all the teachers, Mr. Morgan, barely in it, and he's so funny. The detention teacher, whatever he is, the archery coach, who looks weirdly like
Shapen.
Steve Martin's grumpy brother or something. He's got a real Steve Martin look to him. He's so good, and he's just that you've got pot, don't you? I'm confiscating this too.
But you know so good. Who I did love this time and I've never, ever cared for was Andrew Keegan. As Joey.
He's
actually so funny.
I think he's really, I agree.
That was Swimmer. Let me show you underwear again. And
he shouldn't work in a way and he commits so much to being the perfect douchebag.
He knows exactly who he is.
Every ounce of him.
Yeah.
The little wink to the mirror.
It's good
the
casting.
Headshot comparison.
Yes, everything
Krumholtz
about it.
Sits down. Are you lost?
Yeah.
Like, he's so funny.
Yeah.
He's, I think, the danger of being so good in a movie like this is Kath was like, I kind of recognize all these other people. What happened to him? And I'm like, I reckon he walked into every casting room for the next 10 years. And they're like, oh, you're Joey. Do you want to be this dickhead bully? And he's like, no, I don't want to fucking keep doing that. And they're like, well, you're really good at that.
What about,
so kind of hard for us to not make
you
that.
His best line is, oh, shit, Bianca, I got a nose job shoot tomorrow.
Yes.
Nasal spray shoot.
Nasal spray tomorrow. Him coming out after Kat backs into the car.
You bitch!
Like, just screeching.
What's his name? Really famous actor from the 90s from Full House. Uncle Joey. Wasn't he Uncle Joey?
Oh my god.
I don't know. I never saw Full House.
Yeah. Famous. Anyway, he was like a heartthrob. Everyone just loved him. He was just anyway, I feel like this he could have played a young version of him, for example.
John Stamos.
Oh yeah.
So similar.
He could have been a young John Stamos.
Bob
Saget.
Whenever I hear Bob Saget, I think of JD, how he was trying to do a funniest home video with Tara Reid. But they had to keep pretending that he didn't have a case. He's like, now I'll never get to meet Bob Saget. Because they didn't do the video properly.
That's not why I remember Bob Saget.
And he's like, can we just go home and have sex? Oh, and he's like, no, we have to get it right.
You think of Bob Saget because of Happy Gilmore?
No, because of the Tourette's guy. Famous YouTube thing. It was amazing.
Interesting. Is that not Bob Saget in Happy Gilmore? Where he's like, he's the celebrity golfer. And he ends up.
No, that's Bob Barker.
Yeah, Bob Barker. Yeah, that's what I meant. It's not Bob Saget, Bob Barker.
And Funniest Home Videos was Bob Saget.
Yes.
Yeah.
Bob Barker is very funny in Happy Gilmore. They're both Bob. Anywho. I think you've had enough. Now you've had enough. Julia Stiles is MVP for me.
Oh.
She is.
Yeah, cool.
Good choice.
It's amazing we're not calling Heath for it.
Heath's great.
Everyone's great.
Julia's role is so hard. Larry Miller's is as well, actually, but hers is so hard because she has to be a wet blanket and you have to be sympathetic towards her and be carried along.
Impossible line to walk.
Insanely difficult. Yeah. Her every scene when she is shutting people down and she is saying these predictable, like dismissive statements about like their meaningless consumer-driven lives and all this. Mm. And she's a little bit charmed by it when the two girls both finish off a sentence. She's like, that's me, isn't it? Like she kind of gets off
even at the start of the film when she's in the car and pulls up next to those clicky little girls.
Yes, bad reputation.
The convertible and... Even her reactions there are very understated and very natural and not overplayed.
Yeah.
She's great.
I'm almost talking myself into liking the mum subplot a little more because it's the first time she freaks out when she sees Bianca wearing the pearls. And she hasn't raised her voice an inch before that moment.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, the moment where things actually come to the forefront is when she reads the poem. And you've just not seen anything. Like, you're not prepared for how emotional she's going to get in that scene.
Yeah.
No one in that room is. And that cut to Ledger just looking at her, just like, oh, fuck.
The look of love.
The look of love. An act of true love can thaw a frozen heart.
Mm. Marcus, who was your MVP, did you say? You said Janny.
Now I'm kind of thinking Styles.
I don't know what to do. We've said this at the start. This cast is fantastic top to bottom.
I apologize to Larissa Olenek. I think she does great work in this.
You suck.
Like, really good at that.
Yeah. Even then Julia Styles goes, you suck.
You suck.
And you're like,
actually, no, fuck it. You just got me with that. Styles. Janny's an honorable mention for no small actors, only small parts.
Yeah, the deal. That's true.
Larry Miller's mine for that. The fact that he's so overbearing and you're like, I'm not annoyed by him one bit. He's so funny in every scene. And then at the end where he says the difficult thing about your daughter's getting older as you become a spectator. You've had me on the bench for years and then he pays for her to go to Sarah Lawrence. And when she hugs him, he doesn't know what to do for a second. Yeah, you know, they haven't had that moment.
Like that.
Oh,
it's beautiful.
Last bit, okay. please.
Go on, really quick.
Joey coming to the door.
Oh,
hello, Mr. Stanford. My name's Joey. I'm here to pick up your daughter. Withering stare closes the door.
That's it.
so funny. Good.
Is anyone throwing in? Throwing up
further? You ready?
Go.
10.5.
Yeah. Oh, 10.5, better than American Beauty.
Thomas?
So your rating goes Thomas American Beauty, 10 Things I Hate About You, Interview with a Vampire. Those are your top three movies.
You know what? Fuck it. 11. Fuck it. I can't.
Oh, that's crazy.
It's 11. It's
still a
10. 11.
I love it.
I mean, I'm going to throw
10 things in 11.
I can't. I'm not throwing to 11.
11 things I love about this movie.
Yeah, it's a 10 for me. That was a fucking great time.
Oh, you went up to a 10.
Yeah, but the music's already playing because the climax is the 11.
Yeah.
We're here to have a good time. 10 Things I Hate About You.
It's a perfect film. It might be the perfect film.
Beautiful.
Woof.
Love to hear it.
It might be.
I love you guys.
I love you guys. Through in the past.
wholesome.
Thank you for listening to Throw in the Power.
My name's Tom.
Marcus.
And that was 10 Things I Hate About You. Hey, you should email us or DM us.
Tell us 10 things you hate about this podcast. It can't just be Frank 10 times.
But it also can.
Oh.